My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode. We are here fortnightly to share loads of Walt Disney World memories. And as you are listening to this episode of the podcast, I actually, all being well, should be in Walt Disney World. Now, I've been to Walt Disney World a few times. If you've been listening to the podcast for the last 5 or so years, you'll know that. However, if you've been listening over the last year, you'll know that this year I'm visiting all 6 Disney parks around the world. All 6 castles. Well, there's more than 6 parks because, you know, some parks have got more than one. Like, you know, Walt Disney World's got 4 parks. So this year, 6 castles in 1 year. So I'm already a member now of the 6 Castles Club because Shanghai, Hong Kong, Japan, I did for the first time this year. You can listen back to all my trip reports on the previous podcast. So I thought, rather than doing a roundup podcast and rather than doing a trip report from Walt Disney World, because, you know, we talk about Walt Disney World every episode, pretty much on every episode of the podcast. So for the next episode, I am going to combine a trip report from Disney World. I want to tie in the 6 castles trip for the year, but also your questions. So if there is anything you want to know, whether it's just about Walt Disney World or any of the Disney parks, or you're curious to find out which my favourite park is, now that we'll have done them all, yes, I'll answer that on the next episode. Anything about attractions or any recommendations or tips or planning, anything for any of the Disney parks around the world, I will do my best to answer them on the next podcast 2 weeks from now. So between now and in 2 weeks, or just less, do drop me a message. If there is anything you want to know about any of the Disney parks, at PodMagical. Drop me a message. Don't be shy. Make sure you listen back to the previous episodes from Hong Kong and China and Japan and France and California. And follow us on the socials, because I'm going to be posting loads of stuff from Disney World. But yeah, next episode in 2 weeks, I'm going to cover everything about Disney World plus the other 6 parks and anything that you want to know. So do drop me a question at PodMagical. Same place to go if you want to be a podcast guest. We'll still be talking Walt Disney World in the episode after that, so do get me on. And we have a guest on this episode in a moment, and we do have a question to answer. I've also got some Christmas information for you at the end of the episode, which I think you'll be quite interested in. Question, though, right now is from Colin, who wants to know, I have a UK Starbucks card. Can I use it in the Starbucks in the parks? So I've done a little bit of research on this, because I have the Starbucks card as well. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if you've got money loaded onto it, you can use it to spend in the Starbucks in America. Okay, so you've already loaded your money on. So you've got £20 on there. It'll be what the equivalent is in dollars. I also believe you can still earn stars for Starbucks, but you can't redeem. So if you're like thinking, oh, I'm going to collect loads and loads and loads, because you get use it when I go to America and get all the free drinks, I don't think you can redeem them in Starbucks in America, but I think you can still collect points and collect stars over there. And of course, on the subject of that, if you've got the free dining plan, Starbucks is still a quick service credit. And I used to love doing this when I had the free dining, last time I had free dining, because one quick service credit is one Starbucks drink of any size. So don't use 2 credits on 2 drinks. Get one massive, massive Starbucks, put everything in it and share it around. But I hope that answers your question. Again, got any questions for the next episode about anything to do with any of the Disney parks, or my thoughts or tips or anything, any recommendations, at PodMagical. It's where we are. Well, this is exciting, because we are going over, and shall I do the accent? Okay, I'm going to try the accent. We're going to New Jersey for this episode of the podcast. How was that accent, Brian?
It was acceptable.
Acceptable. New Jersey. So you're in New Jersey. Is that where the boardwalk is? I don't mean the Disney boardwalk.
There is a boardwalk. Yeah, I actually don't like the beach, but there. Yeah, we're very famous for our Jersey Shore.
Yeah, of course, the MTV show.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not like that, though.
I'm not like that. Nope. Like
that. And is the New Jersey boardwalk, is that like the boardwalk I mentioned at Epcot?
I'll be honest. I can't tell you the last time I've been to the New Jersey boardwalk. New Jersey beaches, in my opinion, are not great. Florida has way better beaches.
Which is why you love Walt Disney World then, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And how often do you get to go? Because what, are you an hour away on a flight?
It's like a couple hour flight. But yeah, I would say when I was younger, I was going like once a year, every year for quite a while. I would say I did that at least for like 10 years, probably. You know, in my older age, not as much, not that I'm really old, but I'm not a little kid anymore. So I try to go every like few years. So we'll say 3 to 5 years, at least once. I took a little break, but I'm trying to get more and more into it because I love Disney so much.
And why do you love Disney so much? Why do you keep going back every year or two?
Yeah, I mean, part of it's got to be the nostalgia part, you know, just growing up with it. But Disney is just magical. You know, they find this happiness and you're able to just kind of let your stresses melt away. But they're not like too dumbed down. Like there's some kids stuff that is just like, all right, this was designed for kids, but Disney finds that sweet spot of kids and adults. And so you can appreciate it no matter your age.
And did you go as a kid the first time you went there? Were you pretty young?
Yeah, I think my first time, I think I was like 5. I have literally no memory of it other than I was not allowed to go. I was too small to go on Splash Mountain and I was upset because I had never been and I looked fun. And I remember waiting for my parents or whoever else was in the family was in that trip. I remember waiting with my grandparents while everyone else rode it. And I just remember being upset that I didn't get to ride Splash.
I'm not surprised. So you just stood there waiting for them to come down the big dip at the end.
I guess. I don't. I really have no like visual memory. It's just I remember being with my grandparents and I remember the feeling of not being happy that I couldn't go on Splash Mountain.
Traumatized.
You went back. Absolutely.
So how long did you have to wait until you actually got to go on Splash Mountain?
Oh, I'm sure it was like the year or two later. Yeah, I definitely did finally get to go.
Got the growth spurt eventually.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite memory from your trips?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my favorite memory, and you cut me off if I start rambling too long because we're about to go down a little rabbit hole
you
here.
You go for it. That's what this podcast is for.
My favorite memory just happened this last trip, which was like 2 years ago. I did my very first Run Disney. And for anyone listening, Run Disney is Disney World basically does these, I'm going to call them marathons. They do 5Ks, 10Ks, 10 miles, half marathons, and marathons. And so I'm not even like, I'm not a runner. I'm not like in horrible shape, but I am absolutely not a runner. But I love Disney, and this seemed like a really cool thing and good motivation to try to get in better shape.
Yeah.
And so they had, it was Stitches Ohana Springtime Surprise. And so it was it was a couple Aprils ago, and the theming was Stitch. I was like, oh my God, Stitch is amazing. And basically the way it worked is, because I wanted the Stitch medal, I had to do all of them. So they had a Peter Pan 5K, an Up themed 10K, and then a Lion King themed 10 mile. And they spread that over 3 days. So it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if I do all of that, then I get the Ohana medal, which was, so basically I ran a marathon, but spread it out.
Yeah. Over three days.
And so what was really just amazing with this, now, obviously this is not something I would recommend for someone who has never been to Disney World, but for people who have been to Disney and they want to try new experiences, this was amazing. It absolutely instilled some core memories. You know, so I'm waking up. You got to wake up before the sun. You wake up at like 4 o'clock because the race starts at 5:00. because they gotta try to get all these people done racing before the park actually opens. And so it was really interesting to wake up that early and just walk through the hotel when no one else is awake. And then there's the bus to take you to the park. With a lot of them, you would kind of run alongside the perimeters. You wouldn't really be in the parks for a lot of it. But then they do try to mix you in here and there. One of my favorites, I mean, the 10 mile was really cool because I got to run through Epcot. I did like around the world through Epcot. I have my favorite photo that I took was the sun rising. And it was also during the garden festival. And so I got the sun rising where there was like this topiary dragon with like the little Chinese archway thing. And then the Epcot ball right behind it. And, you know, because it's so early, there's like no people or anything. And that's my favorite photo.
Yeah,
so
I you got never get to go and experience photo. That, do you? Because it's not open. You can't go in there. No
exactly. Way. So I was experiencing things that you've never been able to experience because it's not open. They have a lot of wonderful character meets throughout the running. And you get to see all these characters that you like never get to see.
Yeah.
I even saw like an Abu mascot from Aladdin, and I can't remember the last time I've seen that. But yeah, so you're running and you're just the energy. There's like cast members all around the perimeters, and they're just like cheering you on. You've got these little character meet and greet stops, and then it's just wonderful energy. And it was truly an experience that I do recommend for anybody. Even if you're not very fit, even do the 5K. The 5K doesn't even have like a time limit. So you just walk that, which I did that with my mom because she's a little too old to do anything more. But the 5K, it was a nice experience to be able to run, walk that with my mom and just experience that.
Yeah. So like you say, if you've been a few times and you want to experience something different, obviously not on your first or second time, but you've been before and it's a bit of an escape to backstage in a way, is it? And then you've got
absolutely. Yeah, I got to run behind a lot of stuff, which is not that's not really where the magic is. There was definitely the smell of garbage and stuff in certain areas, but mostly it was pretty good.
And would you do it again? Because I know if you do the full marathon, isn't it the Dopey Challenge? Where isn't it like a 5,
the
10,
Dopey.
A half?
So the Dopey is a Disneyland, which right, I don't okay. do too much Disneyland, but I do want to. Unfortunately, my leg isn't the best, and so I do need to make sure I kind of get that fully figured out first. But there's a dream that I would love to do, kind of like a... I don't know what you call it, but where you do all of the ones available in a single year. And so they have like four throughout the year. There's the Fall Wine and Dine. I'm definitely missing something. And then I know, so there's the one in like January time. That's the,
is it the princess
crazy
one?
Is
it
dopey
princess
one. Oh yes, that's it. There's a princess.
I think, yeah.
I don't remember exactly what time of year that one is, but the January is that dopey one, which is insane because, like I was saying, what I did was a 5K, a 10K, and then a 10 mile. I think the dopey one, I think you essentially are running two marathons throughout that weekend.
Yeah,
I think it's like a 10 mile, like because one of the days is a half marathon, and then the last day is a straight up full marathon. And so that's why they call it dopey, because you got to be dopey to be able to try it. But that would be awesome. I really would love to do that at some point.
Yeah, build yourself up to that one, Brian. Not you know,
absolutely
build yourself up to that. Let's talk about some of your favorite things then when it comes to attractions at Disney World. What's your fave?
So, to kind of circle it back around, my favorite ride, just coincidentally, absolutely was Splash Mountain. It's just, it has several drops. You feel like you're on it for a long time. I really loved the theming. The music was great. So Splash Mountain, definitely my favorite ride. This September when I go, I will finally be... I'll be checking out Tiana's. I don't think it will hit the same, but I am excited for it. Tiana's, I think, opened like a month after my springtime surprise trip. So I did not get to see that. Rise of the Resistance absolutely blew me away. I don't know if you've seen yet, but my word of warning for your viewers, I would say stay away from the so Disney Plus came out with this amazing point of view experience, which I think is brilliant. I really do love it, where you can basically ride the rides at home. I say, though, for certain rides, you should not ruin that if you've never done them. I would advise stay away. Use them to relive the rides. Don't use them to learn what they're
not
about.
Not been on before, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Rise of the Resistance, I stayed away as much as I could. I knew something about some stormtroopers in a room, and I had like seen a photo, but I stayed away as much as I could. And I kid you not, when I first stepped into Rise of the Resistance and I stepped into that one room in the beginning, my jaw actually dropped. I was completely blown away. That is one of the coolest rides. And I would argue that ride elevates from ride to experience. Like, that is a full-on experience, which Disney does very well for a lot of things.
But it throws you in the film, doesn't it?
Yeah. Blew me away. And so that is definitely one of my new favorites. And then, of course, Tower of Terror, classic. I can't go wrong with that. And then the one show, I'm not a big parade and firework person, although I do appreciate that. I usually use those as times to go on shorter lines for rides. Yeah. But the one show I can never miss is Fantasmic. That one was just too cool. It was just a nice culmination of all these years of Disney, really shows you the magic that Disney can create, and has a wonderful soundtrack.
Yeah, it's everything, isn't it? Fantasmic. It really sums up a Disney day, I think, when you're sitting there watching all that going on.
Absolutely.
Having been for many, many years, anything they have got rid of over the last few years that you wish that they kept?
Yeah. Well, so obviously, this will be my first time now where Muppets is gone. So that would
be sad.
All
right, Muppets. Yeah.
Yeah. I also love the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. All those 3Ds, even Captain EO, I'm okay with that being gone. It was fun, but I didn't need it. But Honey, I Shrunk the Audience and Muppets, those were very loved. I am hoping to get on Dinosaur one last time, but I will be sad when that goes. Dinosaur was so good. It has so many great one-liners in that I absolutely love that. Obviously, this will be the first year without Splash Mountain for me, so I'm going to be very sad about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But those are really the main ones. I guess, you know, like, Alien Escape was kind of fun.
No, I did not
like Stitch's Escape. Steam on the back of your neck, and especially when you're like a little kid, like, you think, like how do they do that? It's like something's breathing on you. And I remember being younger, and like, I got chosen as, you know, the light selected me, and I was chosen as, I don't remember what the story was. Maybe I was chosen as a sacrifice or something. but that was fun, but I don't need it. I really would like them to utilize that area for something, but Stitches, unfortunately, was not the right choice.
Yeah, that's still sitting empty. I think, I don't even think Stitch does his meet and greet there anymore. I think it's just an empty.
He does it near it. It's very, yeah, he doesn't do it at that location. Well, at least to my knowledge. He does it closer to Buzz's and the Carousel. Yeah. It's like between Buzz Lightyear and Carousel of Progress.
How often do you stay? So when you go, like living just a couple of hours away, do you tend to, because obviously us here in the UK, we go for like 2 weeks at a time. Some people even go for three. So for you, how long would you spend?
Yeah, that I'm always jealous of that. I don't know if it's just my profession that I've, my career path that I've gone down, or just a US thing, but I'm all super jealous of the idea of you guys getting like a month off and it's okay. I can usually get a week in, and so I'll always try to get in about a week.
Yeah. Any particular times of year you like to go?
No, I've gone all around. I don't have a preference. And I love the heat. I don't know anyone who likes the heat like I do. So September doesn't scare me at all. August wouldn't scare me at all. I've done all different kinds. So like I said, the last one I did was April. I've definitely done mostly probably in the fall, just because of the way it lines up, I think. I have once done the Christmas and New Year's, and that was really cool. That was
busy.
That was definitely experience too. Yes, I remember that was the only time I think I have been in the park where I learned that it hit capacity. On Christmas time it hits capacity, and so you need to get there early, and you don't go park hopping. You got to choose where you're going to be, if I remember right. But it was really cool, especially the New Year's Eve. Like every park has like a little New Year's Eve party, and so that was really fun.
Yeah,
that's another thing I'd recommend if you want to spice up your Disney trips. That doing Christmas and New Year's was a really cool experience.
Yeah. I've done New Year's Eve once at Epcot, and it was really cool. So we went the night before we went to Magic Kingdom, because they do the fireworks twice. So we did pre-New Year's Eve at Magic Kingdom, then actual New Year's Eve. I think you have to be at Epcot. Like you say, the Italian Pavilion and the China Pavilion, they put like DJ stages up, and it's Epcot like you've never experienced it before, and it's only one night a year. Really cool.
Yeah, certainly.
Let's talk about, obviously this is a Walt Disney World podcast, but when you go over to Florida, to Orlando, do you go anywhere else? Do you venture outside, maybe Universal, SeaWorld? Are you planning on doing Epic when you go back?
So I actually am doing Universal and Epic. Myself and my dad especially are big Harry Potter fans, and so he's never done any Universal Harry Potter stuff. And so, yes, we are going to do, for this trip, we're doing 3 days at Disney World, but then 2 days for one for Epic and then one for the Universal two parks. So we're going to do all the Harry Potter things. I'm very excited for the Frankenstein ride.
Yeah,
I have not, I just like I did with Rise of Resistance, I'm trying to go in blind. I really don't know much other than it's apparently really cool. And I'm excited to see what a ride can do this day and age when it's built from the foundation in this current year. You know, I'm used to Disney, and that Disney does some crazy good magic, but the foundations of so many of their rides are really old. So I want to see what, you know, if we have a newer foundation, what can we really do? What limits can we push?
Yeah. And where can we go next, which will be interesting. And then especially what Epic have done or are doing, what will Disney do when it comes to the new Cars attraction or the new Villains Land?
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see where we go next into a new period. And you say you're going with your dad. Now, he's not been for quite a while, has he?
No, yeah. I think it was at least over 10 years ago that he was there last. He has not done Disney nearly as much as I have. I usually have gone with my mom and her side of the family. So this is going to be really new. Yeah, he's very excited. I'm trying to like plan everything that it's like, all right, since he need, you know, it's like you teach them the ways of the Disney. And so I've got to show him all the best park spots and food areas. And if I can plug your YouTube, anyone want to suggest good food options, their favorite foods, if they can put them in the comments of the YouTube section,
right,
that I can try. Try to keep it in the parks, please. I know a lot of people like to go to the resorts for food. I don't really want to do that. I want to stay in the parks. So parks, food, and bonus points if you can give me things that are a little less sugary and carb loaded for my dad's health.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, please post those in the comments. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do. Now, you should listen to the last couple of episodes ago when we had AJ from the Disney Food Blog. She might have helped us out with that one. So it depends what kind of food do you like. Let me see if I can give you some advice. So where are your favorite Disney World restaurants normally? Where would you normally go?
That's the thing that as I listen to more podcasts and more Disney adults, everyone seems to have favorite foods. And that is a goal of mine, to find the favorite food. At this time, right. Okay. I do not have the item. There are a couple things I have liked. I'll say on my last trip, I was, again, looking for favorite foods. And someone suggested at Sleepy Hollow, there was like a waffle with Nutella and berries.
Fruit.
And it was bananas. Delicious. Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, I think shortly after that, they changed it up. So I don't know if that's still there.
I think it's back. I think they brought it back.
Is it?
Yeah. But again, okay, how healthy is that? Yeah, how healthy is
well,
that?
Well, I'm not worried about the health, but yeah.
So what does your dad like to eat? What would he eat? Let me see. I'm going to find you a restaurant and you're going to go and then in
he's
September
not,
you're going
he's,
to tell
he's
me.
He's really not super picky. It's just, okay. You know, I want to be more cautious of, you know, just as you anyone of us get older, you got to be more worried about, you know, high cholesterol and sugar levels and stuff. He's not diabetic, but it's things that we still want to be kind of mindful of.
Yeah. Well, we've got Satouli Canteen over at Animal Kingdom is good. You can have the salad bowls and you can.
Yes, I hear a lot of that. That's good. I hear a lot about that. I think I will look into that.
Yeah, there's a lot of great places. If you go to Disney Springs, there's always healthy options. The salads, if you want to go the salad route. Yeah, you might even, in September, you probably got the Food and Wine Festival on at Epcot. So there's going to be some stuff you could pick. You
can
eat around the world. Yeah, there you go. There's a few things. Where will you be staying when you go in September? Are you on site?
I do my best to stay on site. It's, again, it's that Disney magic. It allows, if you stay on site, you can just like let everything be under Disney's control. I don't need to worry about trying to find cars. Or driving. It's just, you take the shuttles. It's very hands-free. And I think that you have to stay on resort if you're doing a Disney trip, in my opinion, you just to really be able to relax. And my favorite hotel is the Art of Animation.
Yeah.
I don't need the really expensive stuff, although it'd be nice. But I don't have that kind of money. I think the budget, Disney does budget at a premium still. And so Art of Animation is still way better than any kind of non-Disney resort. And now it's got that Skylift.
Skyliner.
So that's really cool. I did that the last time and that was awesome.
And it is so Disney, Art of Animation. You couldn't be any more Disney, I think, than that resort out of all of them.
I really love it. I love the lobby has like this wall of sketch, early sketches. So it's like the characters before they got their final sketches in. And so it's a really cool. The lobby is something that I think is a must see for a lot of people. Art of Animation, by far my favorite, and looking forward to that one again.
You must have picked up some good tips in all the times you've been going. If there's people listening to this podcast who've maybe been once or have never been before, what advice would you give them? Obviously, this is the advice you've been giving to your dad ahead of the trip in September.
Right, yeah. So an advice I would give, because actually my friend who is not a big Disney guy, but he just had a daughter. She's turning one in a few weeks. And he's been my best friend for like 25 years. And so I'm excited that I'm finally going to be like, yes, I'm about to bring you to Disney. We're going to wait for his daughter to get to like five. So she can have like memories. Maybe she can remember it, be traumatized by not getting on Tiana's Bayou. but so he was like, yeah, we're going to go do we're going to go stay at that Animal Kingdom Lodge so we can have the giraffes outside the balcony, which I have done once. And I will agree, it is phenomenal. But I don't think you need to be doing that for your first trip. I quickly said to him, I was like, no, go with a budget, because with Animal Kingdom also, you have a lot more walking. What you want to do, don't worry about all the fancy bells and whistles. Think practicality if you have a little kid. And that's what I told him. I was like, your kid's going to be five. You want to be like friendly in terms of the walking and... I'm blanking on the word, but you want to be able to be convenient. You want to do anything you can to keep the kid from being too hot in the sun and crying and screaming. So you want to be able to accommodate the child. Yeah. And so the budget hotels do best for that, in my opinion. But I would say the best tip for Disney is don't try to do it all at once. If you've never been, give yourself the time. So I really do recommend a day for each park. I typically don't do park hoppers because I think I'd rather just go at a nice pace and enjoy it all.
You see, we're lucky in the UK. The ticket that we get is like a 14-day ticket. That's probably the same price as a 4-day ticket for American.
Oh my gosh!
So we're like,
I mean, that makes
14
sense.
Days and photo pass and everything is thrown on there. So we're very lucky.
Oh wow, photo pass too. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, photo pass is too rich for my blood.
and then maybe even free dining. And yeah, not just to rub it in, Brian, but you are nearer to the magic. So, you know, we've got a 10-hour flight. You've got a 2-hour flight. You win on that one. If I was to give you your ultimate perfect day at Walt Disney World, not your only day, but if you were to build just a great day going, I'm going to do my favorite things, stay where you want, eat what you want, do what you want, what would you do? Talk me through it.
I think for my perfect day, well, I would say I got to hit all four parks. I think if it's a perfect day, then I'm going to pretend that I can make it all fit within the time frame. So I would say I start my day off going to Animal Kingdom. I'll rope drop the Avatar Flight of Passage and then make my way over to the safari and enjoy a nice little safari. And I like to see the animals, and the morning is the best time to do that. So that's why Animal Kingdom is always the best morning park. I'll hit all the main rides I care about. The Everest, Dinosaur. If I can spot some howler monkeys, again, I like to watch the animals. And so I like that little howler monkey area they've got that you can just kind of watch them. But keeping time in mind, I will quickly then head on over to Epcot. I'll get in Guardians Test Track, which I'm excited for the new theme of that. Yeah. I did not like the last theming they had. I loved the original theming where it was just like test dummies and stuff.
Yeah, that was the whole point of it. I used to love that one.
Yeah, that was so good. And then I did not like, I don't know where they were going with the new one, but I didn't like that. So I'm excited. I think they're going a little bit more test dummy like now. And so I'm excited to see the new retheme. I'll hit Test Track. Figment, any Walt Disney World fan, I think, loves Figment. And so you got to go on the Journey to Imagination and enjoy a little Figment. I'm sure I'll get some nice food there at Epcot. And then I'll hop on over. Got to use the monorail to hop on over to Magic Kingdom. The monorail is another fun little Disney tradition. I even have a monorail mug that is please stand clear of the doors.
I need that.
More, and then I don't know. I don't know Spanish well enough, and I haven't memorized the rest of it. But I love that. And yeah, they have that on the Disney store. And I was like, this is such a deep cut for Disney fan, for specifically park fans. But I was like, this is amazing. So I love that. Got to hop on the monorail, experience that, get to Magic Kingdom, Jungle Cruise, which is wonderful. And Jungle Cruise, I love, just the dad jokes. They're so fun. It's crazy to me how long lines are for Jungle Cruise sometimes, though. So I'll try to lightning lane that or whatever. I honestly can't keep up with whatever they call Fast Pass these days.
Lightning lanes now, yeah.
It is lightning lanes, right? Okay, yeah. got to hit Pirates, Tiana's Big Thunder, which unfortunately will be closed for refurbishment.
Till next year.
Yeah. So I'll be missing that this trip, but that's okay. I'll probably get some food somewhere between Frontierland and on my way to Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion's always a staple as well. And the line usually moves pretty quickly on that one. I do really enjoy PhilharMagic. Donald Duck is my favorite character, so I like seeing him have a little bit of control and lose control. and it's also a nice place to just kind of sit and relax. And then you got to hit Space Mountain, of course. Maybe if I have time, I'll get in Buzz's Lightyear little shoot 'em up. But if I don't have time, I can miss that. Although they're going to retheme that one soon too.
Yes, of course.
And upgrade that. I am very excited for the upgrade. I'll see how that goes. I've still never hit Space Ranger is the top one. I've never hit the top score.
Yeah, people have told me, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do it either. I am sad. I don't think I'll ever hit that goal. That would have been a nice little goal to hit. But then I'll move on over to Hollywood Studios. And Hollywood Studios has definitely become one of my favorites when they added the Star Wars land. Galaxy's Edge is so cool. I'm a big Star Wars fan. So I'll hit that. Definitely got to do Rise of Resistance. I'm not a huge fan of the Millennium Falcon, though, but I've never done the pilot seat. So I'll have to try to specifically get the pilot seat because I hear that is where it's better. But when you're the other seats, you just kind of sit there and
Yeah, the
press
pressing
random
buttons.
buttons. And it's not as engaging as I would have liked it. I actually like Star Tours way more.
But it'd be interesting
But
when
then I'll,
Grogu's on
yeah.
there because they're kind of like giving that a bit of a refresh, aren't they? Is that next year when Mandalorian and the baby Yoda they take over that, if I remember
Oh, I
correctly.
didn't.
Yeah.
Which one are they taking over, Star Tours or Millennium Falcon?
Millennium Falcon, yeah. There'll be
Oh, okay.
new adventures
Well,
with Grogu.
I mean that works for me. Give me something new
Yeah.
because again, it hasn't done it for me. I think it needs some kind of more engagement or less engagement. If I'm not piloting, let me just sit and enjoy it instead of having to worry to hit buttons that light up. But yeah, I'll enjoy that Star Wars area. And then I'll head on over to that bottom right corner, and that's where I spend most of my time with Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, and I'll bounce around those until Fantasmic at the end of the night, and that's how I would end my perfect day, just with Fantasmic, and that's that. Oh, and then I guess now I can take this from Fantasmic. I'll just take the Skyliner right to my hotel.
Right, yeah, depends where you're staying. But if you're going back to Art of
The
Animation, yeah,
Mar
you're
Animation,
back home. You're back home. That's a very lot to squeeze in one day, I'm not gonna lie.
Disney
Four
magic can make
parks
it
at every
happen.
attraction. Yeah. The Disney magic of pausing time, so and have no
Yeah.
queues. No queues.
Yeah,
Well,
exactly.
great to chat to you. Have an amazing time with your dad in well, just a few weeks now, isn't it, by the time you get to go. So
Yeah, we're like a month away.
that will be fun. That will be fun. And if anybody knows of any good recommendations for food, I can share them on Instagram or leave comments on YouTube. And we'll see where you end up eating. For now, Brian, have a magical day.
You too, thanks.
If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, looking for guests from anywhere in the world to talk about Walt Disney World, the only place that we care about in the world, do get in touch at PodMagical. And remember, the next episode, I'm going to cover everything about all the Disney parks in the world. So right now, I'll be at Walt Disney World. So I'm going to kind of on the next episode, a little bit of a trip report from that, and also rounding up everything to compare all the Disney parks from around the world. So if you've got any questions about any of the parks, if you want to know how to get there, if you want to know what I thought was the best parade, anything, at Pod Magical is where we are. Make sure you do it over the next week to get everything ready for the next podcast 2 weeks today. But before I go, if you are going to be going to Disney World, yes, enjoy Halloween. The fall is upon us. Remember, we're still into hurricane season. We have the Halloween parties at Magic Kingdom, which means that you won't get Happily Ever After and the nighttime parade on select nights. When the nighttime parade is on, by the way, it's slightly earlier now. It's 8 and 10 with Happily Ever After at 9. It'll be busy on those in-between nights. We've got the Food and Wine Festival on at Epcot, where you can catch Tiffany this weekend on the Eat to the Beat concert series, followed by the Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out, on the 3rd and 4th, The Wanted over on the 10th and 11th. So yes, we are well and truly at the end of September. We're into Halloween season, so I'm going to give you a top tip now about Christmas. Did you know you can celebrate Christmas all year round at Walt Disney World? You've probably seen at Magic Kingdom the Ye Olde Christmas shop, which is just across from the Hall of Presidents. Well, did you know it's Christmas every day in that shop? But because it's Christmas every day, you can write a letter to Santa. Doesn't matter when you go, be it March, April, July, August, November, Christmas. Yes, kids can send letters to Santa all year round from Ye Olde Christmas Shop. They've even got the post box. They've got the paper and crayons if you need to use that as well. So if you want to start the threat to your kids, if you don't behave yourself on this holiday, Santa won't come. Use that threat in June. Take the kids to write their letter to Santa. They'll probably say, "Can I please come back to Walt Disney World?" But yeah, you can write a letter to Santa all year round. I don't know whether you have to be a kid. Maybe you can be an adult. I don't know. We'll see. Back with a brand new episode in 2 weeks from now to cover everything about Disney parks from all around the world. So do get in touch before then. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and you don't miss it. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.